1 Corinthians chapter 14, and just one verse of scripture there, verse 40, the last verse in the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, the Bible says this, "Let all things be done decently and in order." After explaining the true gift of languages, Paul concludes this chapter by simply saying, "Let all things," and he's talking to a local church, "let all things in the local church be done decently and in order." In order means in the right sequence. We're going to be looking at the right sequence with some couplets this evening. God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. God is the author of order and decency. So let me give you the order of four couplets in Scripture. And let me just tell you, I don't get paid by how many words I say. Aren't you thankful? I don't get paid on commission around here. And so the Lord has been very, very good to Tina and I through this church, and we are thankful. So this evening, four couplets in order. First of all, doing and teaching. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Luke said this, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both," here's the order, "to do and to teach." The doctor got it right. A man's life must be proven and examined before his teaching can be taken seriously. Of all that Jesus began both to do, to show, to prove, and then to teach. How does that apply to us this evening? 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Some of you are way ahead of me. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 8. "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre." Filthy lucre is money. "Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless, decently and in order." In the right sequence and decently. "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." You've got to be proven. You've got to do before you can teach and be taken seriously. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 19. "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality." Here it is. "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. It's just talking about an order, a sequence in the local church, how we are to do things around here. And the office of a deacon is one of those things that we will be looking at this evening, of course. Second of all, grace before peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 3. The Apostle Paul said, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul's kind of on a roll here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter 1. And look at verse 3. "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, there is absolutely no peace in our life without God's great grace. We so need that, and we need that applied to our hearts so that we can have that peace of God that passes all understanding, that allows us to deal with difficult things in our life simply because we have the peace of God in our heart. Ready? Third, leaving in marriage before the cleaving. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And look at verse 24. There is a sequence involved in this. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." How very important it is to get God's order, get God's sequence in our marriage. First of all, there needs to be a leaving. There's an emotional thing, and it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother." It doesn't say about a woman, and it's different how a woman leaves her mother and father than how a man leaves his father and his mother. Until I understood that principle in the Word of God, I couldn't understand. After Tina and I got married, her always wanting to go back home. She wanted to, "Kim, can we go back to Tucson?" "I don't want to go to Tucson." And she wanted to go, and then when times rolled around and she could go and I couldn't, she went back there. And I didn't understand it until I did the study to make me understand that it's very, very normal for a man to leave his mother and father and establish a new unit. But it's much more difficult for a woman to leave her home. And so there's a leaving before there is a cleaving and before they become one flesh. And if we get this out of order, it is not a good thing. And then last of all, it's always salvation before baptism. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 41. Here's the order. Then they that gladly received his word, those people that received his word, those people that were born again, those people that were saved, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Who's the unto them? It's the 120 that were in the upper room that God told them to stay there and to pray until they be endued with power from on high. And then, ladies and gentlemen, right after that, the Spirit of God began to move. And on this day, 3,000 people got saved. And that first church, the 120, was increased by 3,000 simply because when you are baptized, you become a member of that local church that baptizes you. It's such an important thing after you are saved for you to get baptized. So what does baptism mean? Well, let's go through it. Ephesians chapter 4 now. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 5. The Bible says there's one Lord, there's one faith, and there's one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Baptism. There's one baptism, and that baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we receive when we are saved. And water baptism is simply a picture of the Holy Spirit baptism when we are saved. Let's go to John chapter 1. Talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and look at verse 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, it's talking about John the Baptist, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Not talking about water baptism here, folks. It's talking about your Holy Spirit baptism, which is not, the charismatics believe your Holy Spirit baptism when you speak in tongues and other things. That's not what Holy Spirit baptism is. It's when you are placed in Christ by the Spirit of God. That's Holy Spirit baptism. Now, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And here's the Lord explaining it a little better. Luke chapter 12 and verse 50. The Bible says this. This is the Lord speaking. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? What in the world is he talking about? He's already been baptized by John the Baptist. That's not it. What is he talking about? He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened or how am I troubled till it be accomplished? What's he talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, he's talking about what water baptism is a picture of, and that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what he is saying here. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. I am going to be crucified. Here he just says this. How am I straitened until I'm arrested and I'm beaten and I'm crucified, and then I'm going to be put in the ground and I'm going to raise on the third day. How am I straightened until that be accomplished? And it was accomplished. And that's the baptism that he is talking about here. And ladies and gentlemen, water baptism is a picture. We're going to get this in just a moment. It is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Okay, let's just stop here and examine what he is saying. He says that baptism is a figure or a picture of what saves you, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He says it's a figure of what really saves us. And here, talking about water baptism, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Water baptism is a picture of what saves us. When we baptize here, we'll ask them, do you know that you've been saved? Because we are trying to establish the right sequence. Do you know that you've been saved? Yes, I know that, Brother Gray. Because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother or my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, and I put him under the water, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That water baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we've got to keep these couplets in order. It's always salvation before baptism. You can't be baptized when you're a baby. As a kid, I was. We were a member of a church, and of course, I don't remember one thing about it. I was just a little baby. Mother told me later on that I was baptized, and then I started going to a Bible-believing church and understood that baptism, all that did was get me wet. And that's how it is. So ladies and gentlemen, let all things be done decently and in order in the local church. And that's what we are going to do in just a few minutes. We're going to do things decently and in the right sequence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your wonderful word that explains things, how we should live our life and how we should do things. So, Father, please speak to our hearts. May you take control of the yearly time tonight. Thank you for this time that you have given to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.